Welcome to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Youth ministries rise and fall on the volunteers. So we are here to encourage and equip you. Join the conversation as we tackle the practical questions you are asking so you can help the next generation know Jesus.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to another conversation here on the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. I've got Sid Coop on the mic in conversation. So the last couple of weeks, Sid, we've actually heard, and you know this, but we've heard snippets from your class at the Coalition for Youth Ministry Leadership. But we're actually bringing you on the mic for an actual back and forth conversation about some of the things that you were teaching.
Yeah.
But so people that have heard this last couple of weeks, maybe have got an idea, but why don't you fill people in? What actually is this coalition that we're kind of giving people a sneak peek on or a preview of?
Yeah, the Coalition for Youth Ministry Leadership, Jerry, is just our program, our two-year program that we run, right? For helping equip and train and prepare youth workers to lead in the ministries wherever God's placed them, right? Whether it's in a community-based ministry, whether it's in a church-based youth ministry, whether it's a camp ministry. And so it's been a real privilege for us to kind of, you know, it was Marv Penner's dream first. He was our founder for the program. And so we've been in the midst of that transition. But the program is designed to see that, to really leverage the experience of ministry as part of the educational process. So if you're in the coalition, you're on the ground as an apprentice in a local ministry context already, or if you're doing your master's studies, you can do it either undergrad or grad. If you're doing a master's study, then you're probably leading a ministry somewhere, but you're on the ground. And so what happens is you have a ministry mentor that's working with you. You have someone who's doing spiritual formation in your life as well. That's part of the program. We give credit for that. We think that's really important. We love that. You're also in like a cohort of other youth workers. So you have this community that's taking place, an opportunity to learn from others who are doing ministry in real time while you're taking the classes. And then you get to come to one of two locations currently, either in Kelowna or in Manitoba. And over 2 years, you do 8 one-week modulars on a number of different classes that we present. And we fly in our professors from all around North America. So we bring people who are real experts on issues of youth culture, issues of counseling adolescents, issues of ministry management. I get to do one on adolescent faith formation, which I love. We have a class on communications, another on apologetics. And so you get to come together for these one-week intensives. We're committed to good academic rigor as well as really intentional experiential learning. And Jer, like after 2 years, there's just this really thoughtful, rooted formation that happens in you as a youth ministry leader. And you get to remain in your local ministry context the whole time, which we just think is tremendous. So the experts have been from one of our classes, the class that I've had the privilege of teaching, which I love, by the way. It's just fantastic. So thankful for that. And this morning, Jer, we're going to talk just kind of another section that I've been teaching on over the last little while in the coalition and just give you a little bit of a taste of what are some of the issues that we're talking about and equipping you for to apply back in your ministry space where God's already placed you. So really excited about it, Jer.
Yeah, I think this will be good. And I know for lots of people listening, you know, you're a volunteer. And so the idea of doing like graduate level studies in ministry, that's not necessarily on your radar. But hey, the point of this conversation is that this particular part of the class, we think, is valuable, not just for those that are studying at the graduate level, getting their master's degree with us or their undergrad, but certainly you, the frontline volunteer as well. And so, Sid, this particular bit, and I actually was listening to you teach it because we had the recording from your class. And I was like, oh, this is really helpful. But I think it's worth us doing this kind of back and forth to make sure that our listeners get a chance. We can just kind of tweak it a little bit for our listeners because you're getting into some really great conversation in the class, and it's all about these faith formation tasks. Is that right? Is that how to say it?
Yeah. So there's a gentleman who wrote a book on what he called faith shaping. His name is Stephen Jones. And he came up with like 5 tasks that are necessary for like rooting faith in the life of a young person. And they're not necessarily linear in nature. Like there is an element of kind of moving through them. But as a youth worker, for me, what this did is it was like, oh, like every time I'm together with kids or when I'm thinking about faith formation, I'm not just simply thinking about getting them to this one place where they make a decision and then we can move on. You know, I think like Jer, oftentimes when we used to think about camp, it was all about getting to Thursday night when we could have kind of a quote unquote commitment moment and then good, job's done, move on. And what's interesting over the years as I've processed that, I used to kind of move away from that. I thought it was a little bit simplistic, but You know, choosing moments are really important. They're very important in faith formation for young people, absolutely. But they're not the only thing that's important for consequential, resilient faith to be formed in the life of a young person. And so what Jones does is he just helps us kind of think through seven tasks altogether, that as youth workers, you know, when we think about our role with students, we can think about these different types of tasks that we can lean into in the moments that we've been given that can help really root faith in a really resilient manner, allow them to be like faith that can handle some of the struggles and the ups and downs that go along with adolescence. The other thing about it is, Jared, that when it comes to these tasks, these aren't a task that we do once and then we leave and move on, but these are the things that we continue to lean into over and over again. We might come back to some, we might stay in some, but they're just kind of part of the way we relate and journey or disciple kids as they grow in their faith through adolescence. So I think what it did for me, Jared, is it just, again, helped me to see the real value in a real holistic or discipleship ministry journey that I'm having with kids, and seeing it as so much more than just wait maybe one moment, if you will.
Okay, so I think just getting into the tasks might be helpful. So let's do a quick overview of what these. Yeah, there's seven of them, right?
Yeah, so we have seven tasks that we're talking about here.
Okay, yeah, and then I'll probably have a lot of questions about them as we go. So let's just start off. What's number one?
Yeah, so the number one task that we're talking about is experiencing. How do we help a young person actually experience God? And what's interesting about that, I don't want to dive too deep on each task right now, but in our research when we did Hemorrhaging Faith, Jared, one of the things that we found is that for a young person to be able to have long-lasting consequential faith, at some point they have to look back in their journey and say, I really experienced God here, here, and here in my faith journey. So our first, you know, the first task that we talk about is how do we create spaces for kids to actually experience God in a really like real authentic way?
Okay, again, we'll have ideas. Maybe let's say it like this way. We'll come back around and think about like a lot of like ways to actually deep dive into this.
Yeah.
But when you say experiencing God, what does that actually mean? Like a student says, like, oh, like I was Thursday night at camp and like God spoke to me. Is that kind of like the vibe?
Yeah, I think so. You know, not quite that simple. You know, again, when we talked about Hemorrhaging Faith and we talked about kids experiencing God, they said that there was a number of ways that they actually experienced God, or spaces, I should say, where they experienced God. It's a little bit difficult to actually articulate experiencing God because it's fairly like personal and subjective. But what we would say at the very core is it's encountering spiritual feelings that have a rooted nature to them. That's how I would define it. So for instance, when I pray and I experience God answering prayer and I see that, there's something that's forming for me that's more than just something cognitive, that's much more holistic. When I think about going on a missions trip, there's something, again, experiential that's happening in that space that's shaping me. I'm right now, Jer, you know, we're working at camp and we actually have these incredible opportunities to experience God working through us as we journey with kids in this really exciting environment and actually experience God do like real work in the life of a young person as we see lives change. So we have these, and it could be as simple as maybe a powerful worship experience, et cetera, et cetera. So all of these are a part of experiencing God, but when it comes to the task of experiencing, there's so much more to it than just the experience itself or just creating the experience itself. And we can talk a little bit more about that as we go.
Okay. That, I think that's helpful. Experiencing God. And it's not that we have like, hey, this is the Friday night that everybody's going to experience God. Like obviously it's students experience God in different ways. And that's a part of the journey, but we want them to have an authentic experience encounter with the living God.
Yeah. And we know that there's something tangible that has to be happening. Like we actually have, there's something about us, you know, not just simply hearing, not just simply understanding, but in the doing, it actually becomes something really holistic. That's a part of shaping our lives. Yeah.
Okay. So first thing, we want students to have an experience of God or to experience God.
Yeah.
What's the second thing?
The second one is categorizing. How do we like actually understand the experiences that we've had? What category do we put them in? Like, so for instance, if I think through my childhood and I think about like moments when God's spoken to my life, what does that actually mean for me? How do I actually like understand that? How do I process that? Do you know what I mean? When I'm thinking about like, doubts that come my way or questions that I've had or different like moments in my life, where do I place that in kind of an understanding narrative where it tells me something about who God is? It tells me something about who I am. It's starting to answer like, or positioning itself to answer some of the bigger questions in my life. So let me give you an example. a young person, you know, might be praying for a parent and or someone they love who is sick, and then they pass away. Okay, what do we do with that as a young person? And how, as a volunteer leader, do we help them understand where God was at with them in that moment, or help them understand, like, why would, you know, God allow that to happen to us? How does this fit in terms of our understanding of who God is, the brokenness of creation, and, you know, the world that we're living in? So it's just a chance of us kind of making sense of our experiences and positioning them in a way that we begin to understand, you know, what this means for my life and how this fits real, how this defines reality for me.
Okay, so that categorizing all of life, like, that's a pretty big task. But I guess maybe you would say starting with some of, like, the significant moments, but eventually being able to categorize, like, everything?
Well, you know, you certainly, in one sense, yes, everything. Now, we don't think about how do I package all of life into this space, but it really is the journey of discipleship is really understanding how all of life actually belongs to God and how he is over all of life. So then how do we, like, interpret and understand what's taking place? Let me give you a smaller example of this. Maybe that's helpful for us. One of the things that we talk about with our staff is the idea of cognitive behavioral therapy. You have an experience, and instead of, like, making assumptions about what this experience means for life, you know, what it does for the future, et cetera, based on just our emotional moment, we want to take a step back. Understand, like, really analyze, okay, what's just happened? What do we know about who God is as we're in the midst of this moment? Okay, therefore, in light of who God is and our understanding of this moment, how will I choose to respond to this moment or live in the midst of this moment? That would be a type of categorizing. So, you know, instead of going, oh my word, like, okay, we just had, I just had an argument with somebody at camp. Now they've gone over and they're talking to somebody. Obviously, they're talking about me. This is terrible and awful. Oh, I know what's going to happen. Now everyone at this camp is going to hate me. And for sure, like, now God is against me and I'm not. And instead of going, okay, now you see I'm catastrophizing. I'm making all sorts of assumptions. Instead, I step back and I go, oh, okay, what just happened here? This has happened here. What do I know about God? I know that God is for me. I know there's nothing he can't redeem. I know that his word says that the way forward is to, like, confess and repent and look to restore relationships. I also know that God has positioned someone here who really loves me, that's in authority and can help me journey through this. And I know that he promises he'll work all things out for good to those who love him. Okay, so instead of running away from this moment, I'm going to take the next step and move forward in it, trusting that God's going to help me, like, be redemptive in this space. And so what I've done is I've kind of taken this moment and I've placed it in a proper category in terms of my life and how I'll respond to it in light of who God is. So we're helping students really kind of think through the experiences and moments in light of the reality of who God is and how he calls us to live in that space.
Okay. So these are big. They're actually, if they feel bigger as you're talking about right? them, than that. I was thinking as we get into it. Okay. So experience God, categorize life. If I can, is that the one or what,
yeah.
you said categorizing, but I, yep. Can I add categorizing life?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
What's number three?
Number three is choosing. So now what we're doing is we're actually choosing, you know, what I believe to be true. So, you know, I have these experiences.
Just beliefs or this is even behaviors?
Boy, I think that's great. I think this is mostly beliefs because we're going to move to responding. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
so this
okay.
is really about, okay, like, what do I actually believe to be true? Do I actually believe that even though my prayer wasn't answered, that God is still good? And why would I believe that? Oh, because he showed his goodness to me through his work on the cross, which was radical sacrifice. So, and you know, there's nothing that he, you can't redeem. So this is about, you know, really looking at, you know, why do, you know, what exactly do I believe? Do I believe the Bible is actually true? Like, can I trust what it says about who God is, which is pretty important because it's a framework that I'm using to understand life right now. And so do I actually believe that he's true and I should therefore respond in light of that truth?
Okay. So choosing beliefs
yeah.
is a good number three. And that's, so again, tasks. Is it tasks? Is that the way you said it?
Yeah. Faith-shaping tasks. You bet.
Faith-shaping tasks.
Yep.
So we want students, we want them to have experiences of God. We want them to be able to categorize their life, choose their beliefs. Okay. What's number four?
Number four is claiming. So now, like, I know what I believe to be true. Now I'm going to make a decision that I'm going to be true to this. I'm giving my life to it. So I'm saying, okay, I'm going to choose to believe that and I'm going to respond in this way. I'm in. This is what I believe to be true. Yeah.
That's helpful because obviously, I mean, you know, big surveys, people believe in God like pretty in wide swaths in culture, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything in terms of what they actually,
exactly
how they live their life. So you said claim, is that the action?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll dive into these again over the next number of podcasts, Jer, but
sure.
But the need for us to create space where kids can come to a place and say, okay, I'm in on this. I'm going to, let me quick example of that. We often think again, like I'm at camp, so I'm thinking camp brain right now. Thursday night is the time we make a claim to follow Jesus. But how about making a claim to say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to trust you with this relationship, even though like it feels really broken right now and I want to chase after it. Instead, I'm going to trust you that when you say you've got my relationships and you've got my life, I'm going to allow you, you know, I'm going to surrender this to you and say, okay, it's yours. I won't rush in. I won't act inappropriately. I'll trust you in how you would have me, you know, function in this relationship. Or I'll trust you when I know that I'm supposed to like go and forgive this person. Okay, great. So you can imagine, Jer, like if I'm a volunteer leader right now, I'm talking with a kid, they've downloaded the situation and I get a chance to say, hey, you know what? This is what Jesus is calling you to. This is how he's calling you to respond to this. And this is a, you know, you're in a season here where you get to make a decision if this is what you're going to be true to. And this is kind of one of those moments that you get to lean in on that. So you can imagine how significant that can be for a young person.
Yeah. Okay. So choose what to believe, claim it personally. We're at five now. What's number five?
So now we're at number five, which is deepening. So this is again where we're going deep in our faith. We're wrestling with some of our doubts in a deeper way. We're, you know, and again, you can jump in and out of these tasks. They're not just necessarily linear and in order, but this is that space where we're helping our kids start to work through some of the much deeper issues. Things like, you know, why do evil things happen to good people? Like, how does that work? Mm. Why does God seem to answer the most mundane prayer over here, but when it comes to the really significant one over here, he seems so far away. Like, what do I do with that? So there's this deepening that's happening in this space where we're experiencing what it is to like surrender more to Jesus and give him deeper control of our lives. And there's a cost to it, but we're trusting him as we lean into this cost. So, you know, again, these are so much more, when we talk about them as tasks, Jer, it's not just like something to do, but these are areas that we become intentional about journeying within. And we just recognize that this is an area we should keep leaning towards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the deepening is a helpful reminder because I think for a lot of us in youth ministry, we think about students that maybe have grown up in faith or they've carried faith for a long time, but some of the things that they believe about faith or even that they claimed about faith are leftovers from perhaps another developmental stage from their younger years.
Brilliant.
And so this deepening is almost like that leveling up. Hey, I've got a childhood faith in this particular area, and so I need to turn it into an adolescent faith or an adult faith.
Yeah, we would call it an integrated faith or a personalized faith, actually. So, you know, it's interesting, right? You're like, when we talk about like faith formation journey for students, we talk about a first stage of faith, which is kind of affiliating faith. It's one of the reasons why camp is so powerful. Affiliating faith is when your faith identity as a child really stands within the values and faith of the most important people in your life. Do you know what I mean? And so at camp, you have these crazy, cool older people that talk about Jesus and love Jesus. And you go, man, I want that to be my faith because I'm affiliated with, you know, with that individual in a powerful way. That's a powerful, real part of a faith journey for a child. But it's different than when we start moving towards a personalized faith where now I begin to own my faith. So now this is becoming mine. And even, Jer, when you think about these seven tasks we're talking about, you know, we think about deepening, but part of like the personalizing faith, deepening is part of it, but there's often a task or a stage that we would call a separating stage as well, where you begin to kind of like, you know, maybe set aside faith for a time or push away from some of the practices of the people you've affiliated with most for a while, in particular, your nuclear family, if you will, and you try to create this space for faith to become your own. And this can be a space, again, we'll spend some time talking about it, especially for parents, that can be really unsettling because it feels like your kids aren't like moving farther in faith. It feels like they're actually losing faith. But really, that pushing away journey is creating space for a real transition from affiliated faith to a more personalized faith. And again, as a volunteer youth worker, and we'll talk about this more, you get to play a really important role relationally as you journey with kids through this element of separation that can happen. That's actually an important part of a robust, you know, consequential, resilient faith in the life of a young person.
Yeah. Okay. So if that's five, let's go to six.
That's number six right there. Separating is actually number six. So then we go. So then we go to number seven, which is a responding faith. So here's what we've got. We've got experiencing, categorizing, choosing, claiming, deepening, separating, and then we have responding. And again, these aren't so clean and clear, but responding is really coming to a mature space where someone says, okay, my life isn't my own. It actually belongs to the Father. And so you own it. So that can start to shape how I think about vocation. It really shapes how I think about like marriage. It shapes how I think about stewardship. So now we're looking at like this faith is actually changing everything I think about in terms of the most important like decisions or relationships that I have in life. And this is now this really kind of deeper, mature space that we're heading into. And part of responding, if we were going to look at kind of faith stages again, Jer, if we think about like a young stage of faith developmentally is affiliating, you move to personalizing. Now you're moving to integrating. And this is like, you're kind of going, oh, I see how God has been at work in my life. He's been at work in my family environment, my closest friends, the experiences, et cetera, that I've had. And now this has formed me here. And this is actually this kind of this new adult person that I've become, if you will. And there's nuance to it and there's richness to it. But I realize, like Paul would say, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. And, you know, ultimately, that's actually where we want to see our students get to. And again, I think that as a child, we might have a child sense of what that means, and that's authentic and real and good, and God's at work. But as we continue to grow up, there's more to what that means to say, okay, God, my life is not my own, it's yours. And again, as a youth worker, we have the chance to journey with kids through life and in all these different kind of areas and ways and engage them in these different tasks. And this is one of those tasks that we get to come alongside our students as they make like real life commitments to say, okay, my life is yours. I'm in. Like whatever that means, I'm in. And what a gift to think that we get to be a part of moving a young person into that space.
Yeah, well, I think even for volunteers, I think the point of even just going through this list is it gives us ideas perhaps on what we might be thinking about doing with and for our students. Because sometimes we get into that rut, right? It's like, well, like, what do I do as a youth worker? I show up, I do whatever the program is. Like, that's what I'm here for. And at some level, you're like, yeah, of course, that's what you signed up. And yet, we're of course here to see students follow Jesus. And so what can we do? What are the things that we're trying to help them, you know, go through
totally
in order that faith would matter? And so here's the list of seven. This is big.
That's huge. And the other thing I think for me, what it does, Jer, is it helps me to look back and go, oh yeah, I guess like we were a part of something significant. I remember when we were a part of that conversation that reflects in this area, or I remember when we came back from the mission trip and we were thinking differently about life and it really affected some of the decisions you started making back at school. Do you know what I mean? Like it actually gives meaning to the journey for us in some ways.
Yeah. Okay. Give us the list of seven as a means of closing things out here. Where are we at? Number one is...
Yeah, wonderful. Experiencing. Number two is categorizing, helping us place those experiences in life. Number three is choosing. What am I going to believe? Number four is claiming. What will I be true to? Number five is deepening, starting to like work through doubts and going deeper and thoughtful in faith. Number six is separating, creating some certain types of space. And by the way, that separating can look really different in different kids. I can't wait to talk about that. And then number seven is responding and saying, okay, like this is actually who I am. Like there's a real identity that's rooted in a space that's mature and resilient. Yeah. So those are the seven tasks that we lean into.
I love that. Well, let's leave it there for now. And then we can circle back and find one or two or three, or maybe even all of them that you think would be helpful for our volunteers.
Yeah. In fact, we can even hit like a couple of them at a time and get really basic. Like what we'll do is we'll say, hey, here's the way that the role of volunteer can be a part of this task. We don't own the whole thing. Nobody does. But we get to play roles in it as we move through.
That's awesome. So we'll pick it up next time. But again, for everybody listening, if something like this is inspiring in the sense of like, ooh, this actually takes our experience of youth ministry a little bit deeper, we would love to get to know you a little bit more and chat more about the coalition. We'll throw some links in the show notes.
And hey, Jared, here's what really gets crazy is when you start planning your like youth ministry journey, your calendar, even around some of these tasks, boy, that's when we start getting super intentional about it. And if you're a point leader, then all of a sudden you can really be directive to your volunteers on how to actually leverage moments really specifically when you think about some of these different tasks that we're shooting for. So that's what the coalition is about, Jer. And again, what a privilege we get to have journeying with the group of students we do. Super fun.
I love it. Well, we'll see you guys next time here on the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast.